Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Tim, when you're traveling by airplane, there seems to be like a whole other set of rules compared to like other forms of public transport, okay, right?
Bus and train are kind of the major ones that we're not talking about.
Like, you know, when you go to the airport, when you're being called up, right? It's like time for boarding on this flight.
Boom, boom.
Are you one of the people who immediately get up to line up and like so that you can get into the plane first, or do you wait for the crowd to die down?
Really depends on who I'm with. If I'm by myself, I'll probably just be standing near the gate, like near the line anyway, because I'm just like, oh, it's just me, like, whatever. I don't care about finding a seat or whatever. I'm happy standing. But if I'm with, like, my family, like, they'll want a seat, you know, we've got to wrangle our son, all those kind of things.
So it's easier to get on the plane first.
I'd wait for everyone to get on.
Oh, really?
I'd wait for everyone to get on. I'd just be like, let's just wait. Let's just wait. But then again, I've only ever flown once with our son.
Yeah. So, and how did he go on that flight?
He was fine. He was really young. He was only like seven or 8 months
old. When the flight's over, are you one of the people that stands up as soon as the seatbelt signs off and starts taking down your stuff? Or do you wait until the whole, like, people start filing out of the cabin?
If I'm on the aisle seat, I'll stand to stretch my legs.
Sure.
But I'm not, if I'm in the window or the middle, then I'm staying.
You're not pushing over people?
Seated, no.
There's apparently a new term for people that push people out the way to A, get onto a flight, or B, to get off the flight.
Okay.
And they're calling them lice.
Fair. That's a good name. That's a fitting name.
Aisle lice and gate lice.
Gate lice, yeah.
And people are arguing online at the moment about which is worse, gate lice or aisle lice.
To me, it also could be like a small yappy dog. Like, you know, when you're trying to get through a door and there's a small dog like... Like, that's the same energy to me.
Aisle dog.
It's like, calm.
Yeah.
Damn,
well,
let me through.
Lot of the times they haven't even opened the door yet and people are, like, climbing over one another.
What I find frustrating, and again, it's, like, such, like, first world problems, right?
Yeah.
But, like, when you're, say, if you're waiting in the aisle and, like, the way it works is the aisles go from the front of the plane. Like, if it's, you can only leave from the front. It goes row by row. If it finally gets to my row and I'm able to get out to get my stuff from the overhead, but then people from rows behind me start cutting through. I'm like, no.
it's
my row's turn.
They are the aisle lice, Tim.
Aisle lice,
and this is what a lot of airlines are trying to eliminate, the aisle lice, because it actually is more disruptive.
Oh, 100%.
Than just trying to file out in an orderly fashion.
But how do you do that? Because for lack of a better word, everyone's just clagged, especially when you're trying to get off. Everyone's just clagged and stagnant.
Something I noticed, because over the holiday break, I went up to Brisbane to visit my in-laws, and something I noticed for the first time that I have never seen in Australia before is we had boarding groups. So,
well, sometimes it's like back from this row, you go to this entrance, or this row, you go to that entrance.
Yeah,
that's the only difference.
But it was like boarding group 5.
Oh, no.
And I was like, looking at my ticket, I'm like, oh, we're boarding group 6. So we weren't allowed to even line up. They're trying to stop the gate locks.
I kind of like that.
Yeah. And it was really, it was a lot more orderly.
Orderly.
Then you don't have the whole big line going halfway up the airport.
Yeah.
Because everyone, you just wait till your boarding group.
Because you want to get rid of lice. That's the whole thing.
Yes.
You want to get lice out. You want to put you don't want to be doing stupid things like putting peanut butter in your hair and nits and all those things. This is how you get rid of lice.
I think that aisle lice are worse than gate lice.
100%.
It's harder to manage.
But all lice are bad.
That's it.
Can't forget that. This is Tim and Jess. I can't believe, actually, I know I've only seen you a couple of times since the new year, but I actually can't believe I haven't told you this. But and I wanted to share it with everyone because I might be overselling this, but I was taken off guard by something that happened on Christmas Day with my lovely mother, Bernadette, She's a star. She gets my sister and I, and like, well, we get like a my sister and her husband and myself and my wife. She gives us a present,
right?
Like for Christmas, and it's like a hamper basket. It's like a
gift
basket.
Yeah. My mum does the same thing.
Most commonly, it will have Pringles, lollies. We always get a notepad and pens.
Cute.
That's been happening since we were teenagers, and it's my favorite thing about Christmas, looking forward to
what notepad
it is found. And it was, again, as always, top shelf. And there's just like little snacks and those kind of things. And there was something in it, and I picked it up and I kind of was like, oh, yeah, and I put it down. And then I didn't actually realize what it was. I don't think I was reading it. I was just kind of like, you know how you just kind of like...
Yeah, there was a lot of things.
A lot of things,
sure.
Looking through.
And you hate opening presents in front of people.
I do.
You would have been like, let me get through this as quickly as possible. Thanks, Mum.
Yeah, pretty much. And, like, it's so lovely. We're so lucky. I know that's not like everyone's in the situation to be able to do that. So I feel really lucky. But the thing that caught me off guard is for Christmas, from my mum, I got a will kit.
Oh. At least you've got a new nifty pen to fill that out with.
Yeah, I do have a really nice set of blue pens to fill that out. And yes, my mum recently learned that my wife and I, we haven't organised a will.
Sure.
And especially since we've had a child,
yeah,
she's really been on us to get two things. One was contents insurance for
our
house.
Have you not got contents insurance?
Well, we do now, but we have only maybe 6 months ago.
Timothy!
6 months ago was the first time. Because we don't own our house, so it wasn't home and contents. It was just contents insurance.
Of course.
So we've got that now. So rob away.
You know, I once asked my mum when I first moved out of home at like 23. I said to mum, oh, do I need contents insurance? And she said, what do you need to insure?
So...
Thanks, Mum.
Tick that off the list. Yep, got the contents insurance. Yeah. And she was like, you need to get a will organised. You need to get a will organised. She's like, I don't care if you go to the post office or the news agency, just get it sorted.
See, doing my celebrant course last year made me super morbid when it came to this sort of thing. Because we did like a whole funeral section. We learned how to do funerals and be a funeral celebrant as well. And so that made me like, I handed out will kits to all of my family members and I was like, just tell me what kind of funeral you want, then we'll put it in a file and we never have to talk about it again.
Family dinners sound fun at your house. Everyone gets will.
I imagine your mum's probably thinking the same thing. Like, has she got everything planned?
Like, has she got a will?
Yeah, does she?
I have had the most morbid phone conversations and physical conversations with my mum where she's like, all right, well, here's what to do if I die.
Wow.
Here's what to do if your dad dies and I'm injured and I can't do anything. Here's what to do if we both die and you take these steps and you go to these places and I've left everything. It's under D for dead.
Oh, God.
In the filing cabinet. So, good to know. But, so I've got a will. I've still, it's been, you know, almost a month since Christmas.
I don't know how legal those like will kits are.
Well, I think you go and you put it through and whether you go to the post office or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, it's the strangest gift I've ever
That is pretty odd.
So 5223295 What's the strangest gift you've ever received?
Mm-hmm.
Something that you kind of got it and it wasn't even one of those ones where like, maybe it's like a jumper you don't like and you get that, oh, thanks, I'll wear that. Like a will is a strange thing to get as a gift.
My bubba bought me Spanx once. she said to me.
It's supportive.
This will make you very skinny, Jessica. Oh, and I said, nice. Thanks, bubba.
Thanks, bubba. Appreciate it. Why don't you go Trasim on now?
Why is she from Transylvania when you do it?
I can't. I've never been able to hone in on the impression of your Macedonian bubba. I'm working on it. 5223295 Again, it doesn't have to be Christmas, but it could be a birthday. It could just be like an anniversary present. What is the strangest gift that you have received? Mm. Just quickly, Jess, I know initially, yesterday even, you were complaining about strange gifts that your husband's got you in the past.
Yes.
I stand by that they're excellent, useful gifts.
My husband, for our 1 year anniversary, we'd been dating for exactly a year, he gave me a washing machine. And I said, what is this? He said, you said you needed one. It's practical. You're going to use it every day.
It's such a handy gift.
It's so unromantic.
No, it's not.
He gave me white goods.
Chug. Put it on a heavy drum.
Okay, stop that. Your mother's listening.
Yeah, that's fair. Sorry, mummy. No, I think because like imagine having to buy your own washing machine.
Yeah, like, yeah. It was a nice washing machine.
Yeah, 100%,
we still have it.
100%. Opening the phones on the strangest gift you've ever got. Kira from East Geelong. What's it for you?
On Christmas Day, one day, my mum opened a gift from her sister, and it was a free little magazine that you get stuck to the front of other magazines. Like, she didn't actually get the magazine; she just got the free magazine, and it still had the sticky stuff on the back.
Oh no! Kira, do you think your auntie forgot to get your mum a gift?
Yeah.
And she's just like, look around the room. Oh, God, the TV week's not there anymore. But there's a little book that it came with. I'll just quickly wrap that
Maybe.
Up.
Maybe. I hope she's not listening to this call.
I wonder what... I'm so curious to know what the magazine that it used to be attached to was.
Mm.
What was the little magazine about? Anything in particular that your mum has interests in?
Well, it was just like a little biscuit cookbook.
Oh, that's nice.
That's a bit cute.
Oh, well, is it?
Sorry, I think we're trying to make the save, and it's just not happening there.
Yeah, we're not getting there with the save.
Yeah. Okay, well, Kira, we appreciate your call. Condolences to your mum.
Hopefully your auntie's not listening.
Yeah.
That's right.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
Over the last year or so, there's been a couple of instances where I've been left pretty flat or pretty impressed with you, Jess.
Oh. I love it's one or the other.
Yeah. There was a big period where I was pushing for you because the Geelong Addies started doing, like, all these competitions, and it was like, oh, the best barber in town,
right,
or the best these, and these are great. And I love figuring out which markets I think that you could be the best at, Jess.
Mm-hmm.
I did a huge campaign to get you the cutest baby in Geelong. And you
actually applied, yeah, and they didn't even put me in the finalists.
Well, everything I said wasn't a lie. She cries a lot.
Yeah.
She can be quite a responsibility.
Tick.
I have to take care of her. And then we covered this at length, when I went to upload the beautiful photo of you, I accidentally clicked on a photo of you crying eating a chicken wing eating contest.
To be fair, the youngest I've ever looked. So
yeah. So, because you acted like a big baby that night from memory. But
I had just thrown up on myself.
See, all the filters that they were asking for, I ticked them, legitimately entered you. You weren't even one of the finalists.
Yeah.
Devastating. There's a couple of cheeky ones where you've managed to stay out of it. Geelong's biggest crims, you managed to...
You tried to put me on the list as well.
Sneak off that list. So that's a good crim. Okay. You don't know that you're on the thing. You weren't awarded Geelong's biggest hottie, which was pretty devastating.
I didn't even know they were having that one. So
there's a new one now on the Geelong Advertiser where you can vote online. And I initially got upset because I thought it was here are the results, but
right,
no, it's the voting period. Who is Geelong's top gym rat?
That's me.
Nibble, nibble. Nominate now.
Oh, God.
Jess. And they're saying gym buff, but I think we can all read between the lines.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gym rat. If you know someone, or if you are a gym rat or a gym buff yourself, maybe you want to nominate yourself. Maybe you want to nominate someone who goes to the gym with you, someone that's putting in the effort. But I tell you what, don't try. The winner is sitting across from me right now in this studio.
Tell me someone who goes to the gym more than I do, Tim.
I'm yet to find somebody. Is the only reason you go to your gym because they offer you free pizza on Fridays and there's a massage chair that you use more than the actual machines?
Maybe. Sue me.
It's not your fault, your gym.
Am I still going to the gym?
Yes.
Exactly.
You technically are. You have a gym membership. So I just thought I'd put this out there because initially I was going to be like, Jess, I don't know how you missed the list. I don't know how that's gone on there.
Mm.
But the fact that it's a nomination period, I would just say everyone else just throw your computers in the bar.
Are you going to nominate me?
Well, I feel like it's a given.
Yeah.
Because again, like, I didn't nominate you for Geelong's biggest crims and you managed to avoid that because, you know, you spoke to the right people. Handshakes behind
closed doors.
But yeah,
they obviously have watched me spend hours on the massage chair and they think, wow, let's make her top of the list.
A lot of people that are entering, they do these things, and I believe I'm pronouncing this correct. Bodybuilding? I'm not sure. It could be a German word. Bodybuilding.
Mm.
And I'm not sure what that is. So that's what they do. But I think your commitment, it's because, like, you know, you're a star. You're there. In there every day.
My commitment to relaxing my muscles is unrivaled, Tim.
So if you see fake news on the Addy about who is Geelong's biggest gym buff, aka gym rat, and it's like, I don't know, Tessa from Torquay, and she's won all these Budabidling competitions. Again, I'm still not certain about that pronunciation. The real winner, Jess, you will remain uncrowned.
Thank you so much,
Jess. Don't even try. There you go. Another one done and dusted in the books for you, Jess.
Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best. Good buddy. Good buddy. Get down on it.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.